Hey everyone, my name is Joel Radecki and thanks for checking out one of our sermons today. We're so glad that you're here and we want to connect with you and your family. The easiest way to do that is to text River Church to 97,000. There you can ask questions, some are summit prayer requests, and even support the River Church financially. At the end of the day, we just want to connect with you and be a blessing in any way that we can. You can also visit our website at theriverchurch.cc to learn more about us and what we have going on as a church. Thanks again for joining us, and we hope you are blessed by today's message.
Let's open our Bibles to Psalm 100. If you don't have a Bible, I want to ask you and encourage you to share with someone next to you. Or you can take out your phone, you can download a Bible app or the River Church app. There's a Bible feature there. My name is Josh Combs. I'm the lead pastor of the River and so honored and thankful to be here with you. If you're a guest, I want to welcome you. And to those of you watching right now, we certainly want to extend a welcome to you. Psalm 100. The great British preacher of the 1800s, Charles Spurgeon, described Psalm 100 as all ablaze with grateful adoration. The heading of Psalm 100 is simply a psalm for giving thanks. It would be a song that would be sung as worshipers came to bring and to give a sacrifice to God. It was a song to be sung to express gratitude to God, thankfulness to the Lord. Let's look at verse 1. The psalm says, "Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth." The New American Standard translates that, "Shout joyfully to the Lord." The Message paraphrases it as, "On your feet now, applaud God." The joyful noise is a shout, it's a cheer. It is a crowd at a soccer match when a goal is scored. It's an audience at a concert when their favorite singer finally takes the stage or their favorite song begins to be played. It's a walk-off homer in the bottom of the ninth. The crowd rises to their feet, cheering, whistling, clapping, and rejoicing. Now, Psalm 100 is a joyful noise, not for a sports team or an entertainer, but the Bible says, make a joyful noise to the Lord. The Hebrew word here is the word Yahweh. This song is all about God. Look at verse number 2. We have make a joyful noise to the Lord. Now in verse 2, we have serve the Lord and come into his presence. In verse 3, we're invited to know the Lord. In verse 4, we're commanded to give thanks to him. The psalm, again, is a song of gratitude and thankfulness to the Lord. In the Gospel of John, 8 days after the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, there was a remaining apostle who was skeptical. He had yet to see or speak to Jesus after the resurrection. He had wondered, did Jesus really come back to life? John chapter 20, the Bible says, although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." And Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Just days prior to this, in John chapter 13, at the Last Supper, Jesus said to his disciples, "You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am." So Jesus confirmed, and the Bible is filled with countless affirmations of a very profound and simple truth that has helped shape the church for 2,000 years. Three simple words: that Jesus is Lord. Paul writes in Philippians chapter 2, he says that the name of Jesus is the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The River Church, we are about one thing, and that is about the Lord Jesus Christ. To him be glory in the church. Romans chapter 11 says, "For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever." So every sermon that is preached in every building that we have needs to be to the glory of God and faithfully proclaim Jesus as Lord. Every song that we sing is not meant to be or needs to be man-centered. It must be proclaiming that Jesus is Lord, that he was crucified, he was buried, and he rose again, and he is coming again. It is Jesus is Lord, and he deserves the glory, and so we give him glory. Psalm 100 begins by saying, "Make a joyful noise to the Lord." It is a shout to the Lord. Now, some of you may have grown up more conservative or more liturgical in your worship, so the idea of shouting to the Lord seems a little bit out of your comfort zone. But I'll tell you this, you make a joyful noise to the Lord. That can be in a setting like this. It can be driving down the road where you're just proclaiming that the sun is shining, the sky is blue, the goodness of God, and you just shout to God. He's not caring whether your song is in tune or out of tune. He is seeing, is there joy in your heart? Are you making that joyful shout to the Lord? Psalm 100, make a joyful noise to the Lord. Just a few psalms prior to that, in Psalm 98 verse 4 tells us, shout for joy to the Lord, burst into jubilant song with music. Make music to the Lord. Shout for joy before the Lord, the King. Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Want you to know exactly what Psalm 24 says. It says, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and all who dwell in it." It's all God's. He owns it all. He sustains it all. The Bible says that he upholds the world by the word of his power. So God is holding all of this together. And as his representatives, as his ambassadors, we have the great privilege of going into all the world to proclaim the gospel to the whole of creation. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. It's all his. And the command, the invitation, is for the whole earth to come and worship the one true God. Look at verse 2. Not only are we called to make a joyful noise to the Lord, verse 2, we are called to serve the Lord with gladness, meaning worship and serving go together. It's not just about the joyful noise that we make. It is about serving the Lord with our lives. Romans 12, 1, Paul says, "I appeal to you, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship." This is real worship, is a life devoted, sacrificed to God. The psalm says we serve the Lord with gladness and we come into his presence with singing. Now, in every one of our gatherings, we sing together. And we don't just do that to fill time. And we don't just do that to give the band or musicians or singers something to do. We don't just sing to fulfill some churchy expectation. We sing because God has filled our hearts with gladness and we cannot help but sing. Now, some of you might think, Josh, you would never want to hear me sing. And you may not be able to carry a tune in a bucket, but I want you to know this, God doesn't care. If he has filled your heart with gladness, you will, as Psalm 100 verse 2 says, you will come into his presence with singing. You will be, as one writer said, you will have the thrill of the freedom that God has given to you. Let's look at verse 3. Psalm 100 verse 3 says, know that the Lord, he is God. So this is why we come into his presence with singing. This is why we serve the Lord with gladness. This is why we make a joyful noise, because we know that the Lord, he is God. We know truth. In Jesus' conversation with a woman, sometimes known as the woman at the well, Jesus says to her in John chapter 4, he says, the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. Worship in spirit is all that we are. It's from the core of our heart, the very essence of our being. It's with emotion and it is with passion, but it's always paired with truth. We worship in spirit and we worship with truth. We declare true things about God. One writer says the verb to know means to know by experience. It also carries the meaning of acknowledge. What we have experienced in our hearts, we openly confess to others and bear witness of our glorious God. Meaning we are singing because of how we've experienced God, that he has been faithful in the good times and he has been faithful in the bad times. And when we sing, we're saying that to God. God, I don't necessarily feel great today, but I know that you are God. That's the confidence that Psalm 100 says we are to come into his presence with singing. He has filled our hearts with gladness. We are making a joyful noise, a shout to the Lord, because we know that the Lord, he is God. And not only is he God, but verse 3 continues, it is he who has made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. What brings us together must not be a name of the church, the River Church. That can't be what brings us together, because here's the truth, that will not keep us together. What brings us together cannot be one charismatic or one exciting personality. What brings us together must be Jesus Christ. He brought us together. He has made us. We are his people. One writer said, we did not make ourselves, neither as creations nor as new creations, as we have no hand in making either our souls or bodies. So neither our regeneration nor in the work of God upon our hearts. We don't have anything to do with that. That is solely the Lord's work. John chapter 1 says, those who come to Christ, those who confess and believe, he gives the right to become the children of God. And they are born not of their own effort or the effort of some other human force. They are born again because of the work of God. Ephesians chapter 2 says, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Jesus made this promise in Matthew chapter 16. He said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That's why we shout for joy. That's why we sing. That's why we praise the Lord, because he is God. And he has made us. If you're sitting here and you've been born again, that wasn't because you were smarter than someone else. That's because God, the Holy Spirit, moved in your heart and brought you to the truth of salvation. And you now belong, Psalm 100 says, to him. And not just him, but we are his people and the sheep of his pasture, meaning God cares intimately and personally for each of us. Psalm 100, know the Lord is God. He is God. Look at verse 4. We enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts. I hope that you'll notice this. Over and over again, this whole psalm is about the Lord. It is his presence that we're coming into, and it is he, verse 3, who made us. We are his people, his pasture. Now in verse 4, we're invited to enter his gates, not our gates, with thanksgiving. And we're invited to enter his courts with praise. Give him thanks and bless his name. Now, this is an Old Testament psalm, and they're talking about some courts, some courtyards in the temple. And the worshipers would come through the gates and they would sing different songs, Psalm 100 being one of them. But they were only permitted to go so close to the temple, the actual temple where the presence of God was. They were restricted to the courts. That was great, but that's as close as they could go. Until one day, God sent his only son, and Jesus goes to the cross, and Jesus pays the penalty. And it's while Jesus is on the cross that something miraculous happens. The curtain in the temple was torn in two, not from the bottom to the top, but from the top to the bottom. And now we are able to, because of what Jesus says, not just stay in the courts to praise him, but we are allowed, because of Christ, to go into the very presence of God. Hebrews chapter 4 says, because of Jesus, let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That's what Jesus has done for us. Look at Psalm 100. We're to enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. We are to give thanks to him and bless his name. Bless his name means to be respectful and tell God what he has done. Man, I hope that your prayers are not just, God, here's the to-do list for the week, but God, I just want to pause and praise you for what you've done. God, I just want to tell you with great respect that when I didn't think I was going to make it, you carried me through. We thank the Lord. We are invited to enter his gates. Look at verse 5. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. Warren Wiersbe says it this way: from generation to generation, the Lord can be trusted. The Lord can be relied on. If you're a father or mother here or a grandparent, you can say to your children and to your grandchildren, the Lord can be trusted. The Lord can be relied on. And you can share stories about how God has been good to you. The Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever. In Romans chapter 8, Paul speaks of the love of God. And he says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? He says in verse 38, I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. The good news of Jesus is God showing his love to the world. Now, this is what is profound to me. And every time I think about the love of God, I also think about the reality that God also knows me, that God knows everything I've ever done. God knows every word I've ever spoken, and God knows every thought I've ever had. And yet God still looks at me and says, I love you. You're sitting here today, I want you to know God knows everything you've ever thought, everything you've ever done, everything you've ever said. And yet God says, I love you so much that I sent my only son to die on the cross to pay the penalty for sin, and that Jesus was buried and Jesus rose from the dead. And that is a love that is steadfast, enduring, and forever. Charles Spurgeon again says, our hearts leap for joy as we bow before the one who has never broken his word or changed his purpose. The world changes, the economy changes, nations change, politicians change. But here's the reality. The Lord God of heaven, the maker of heaven and earth, can be relied on for generation to generations. People will come, people will go, people will fail. But Jesus, the Lord, he is worthy of our praise because he came and he died and he rose again. And he offers to every person on the earth the forgiveness of our sins and the hope of eternal life. That's why we shout for joy. And maybe you're sitting here right now and you know the Lord. You know Christ. There was a moment in your life where what Romans 10:9 says, you confessed with your mouth Jesus as Lord. You believed in your heart God raised Jesus from the dead. You've been saved. You've been born again. I hope that as we sing the next few songs, you will shout for joy. Maybe if you're a Baptist, it's the first time you raise your hands and say, Lord, I'm just so thankful that that moment I thought it was crash and burn, you scooped me up and you put broken pieces back together and you made something that was so ugly and so messy, so beautiful. God, that's what you do and I thank you for it. Maybe you're here right now and you don't know the Lord. You've never come to faith in Christ. What that means is, you must confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord. He's the boss. He's the owner. And you must believe in your heart God raised Jesus from the dead. Then and only then will you be saved. In just a few moments, we're going to sing. And maybe you're here and you have come to faith in Christ, but you need to be baptized. Now, baptism doesn't save you. It has never saved anyone, but baptism is showing on the outside what Jesus has done on the inside. And maybe you need to be baptized today. Maybe right now you've confessed with your mouth Jesus is Lord. You believed in your heart God raised Jesus from the dead. You've been saved right now. Then I want to invite you in just a moment. We're going to have some of our pastors down here to my left. They would love to chat with you for a moment. We got shorts and t-shirts and towels, and we'd love to help you be baptized today to publicly proclaim your faith in Jesus. Let's pray together. God, thank you for your word. Thank you for this psalm. Thank you for burning it into my heart over the last few days. And God, I pray as I think about this passage that I would truly serve you with gladness. Thank you for this celebration of what you have done and who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together and let's sing. If you need to be baptized, be courageous and go do that.